We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA Front Office Show. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, joined by Keith Smith at KeithSmithNBA. Midweek here. Plenty going on in the NBA. Playoff races going a little bit crazy. Some teams starting to go crazy, shutting players down. Some teams just say, well, let's rest a night as we get ready for the postseason. You've got teams all over the place making different decisions. So we've got a lot to get into today. And I guess let's start with a team that maybe we don't talk enough about, the Washington Wizards, working on an extension with Kristaps Porzingis. Keith, the Wizards seem to be a team kind of in flux. A lot of people have been wondering what it is they're going to do long-term. Are they going to commit to a Bradley Beal-Porzingis pairing? Is this a sign that that's what's going to happen here, or is this independent of all the chatter that's sure to come about Bradley Beal this summer?
Yeah, I mean, clearly this is because the Celtics did their best last night to get all the Wizards paid by completely no-showing
in game
and playing absolutely awful, awful, awful basketball in a game that likely probably clinched the one seed for the Milwaukee Bucks. But anyway,
they were blinded by those Wizards jerseys.
The Pepto-Bismol pink jerseys. The cherry blossom ones, I like them. I think they're good.
Oh, no, they're just great. Fine. I'm just saying they're very bright, and I think they did the trick.
That must have been it. That must have been it. They couldn't even see them to defend them. And that's why I ran a light line on them all the way to the rim. I'll digress. I'll move on from that. I don't know how to phrase this, so maybe you can help me out here.
Sure.
I don't hate the idea of extending Kristaps Porzingis. Buried within that same reporting was they want to re-sign Kyle Kuzma. They're not going to extend Kuzma. I wrote about this extensively at SpotTrack. He's just one of those guys. He doesn't make enough, so the veteran extension rules aren't going to work to extend him. He would leave too much money on the table. So they want to extend Porzingis. Then they want to re-sign Kuzma. That would give them basically a Beal, Porzingis, Kuzma core moving forward. Probably, I'm going to guess, somewhere in the range of $100 million on those three guys for next season. That's probably about where this will land. I don't hate Porzingis. I don't hate Kuzma. I don't hate Bradley Beal. But I kind of hate those three guys together. Like, I just think it's like, what is your upside there? Like, unless you nail every other spot on your roster, what are you, the fourth seed? If everything goes right, but probably more in line with the 7th through 12th spots in the East, which is basically where they've been for the last, I don't know, decade plus, it feels like. It's like, I don't know. I feel like this isn't bad. I don't see where this like becomes like, man, all right, the Wizards now, they locked in, we're ready to go. Like, I just kind of, it leaves me feeling very lukewarm, I guess is the best way to put it.
You're signing up for being more of what you already have been, right? Which hasn't been great. I mean, just kind of middle, you're just kind of there, right?
Yep.
You're just kind of there. So you're telling me like, if you were running the ship, your preference would be, let's get as much as we can for these guys, bottom this thing out and try again, because this isn't going to work. Is that the point you think they should be at?
Or I would pick one of them and try to really reset in a different direction around them. Now, if they can get Porzingis on a reasonable deal, and let's be very fair, Kristaps Porzingis has been very, very good this season. I think because they're They don't have a ton of young players, and they're not a good team. No one is really focused on the Wizards this year. I think, to your point, you let it win. We don't talk about them enough. And I think it's just, they just kind of exist, right? They're kind of like Portland East, where it's like, they're not terrible, but they're not good. So we just, they're just kind of there. And it is what it is with them. And I think that misses things like Porzingis has been great. He could have been an all-star this year. He's been, this is, I think, his best season he's had since he tore his ACL.
These are the stats for the season, just for anybody who's unaware. 23 points per game, 8.4 boards, 2.7 assists, 1.5 blocks, plus a steal per game. And these are the shooting percentages. 50% from the field. He's at 85% at the free throw line while getting there 6.5 times per game and shooting 39% from deep. Yeah. There's not many bigs in the NBA that can do that. That's really impressive.
Lauri Markkanen is getting All-NBA buzz to have very similar numbers to what Porzingis is doing. And that's not to take away from Lauri Markkanen. That's just a sense of, hey, if you love what he's doing, let's give Porzingis a little bit of shine here too.
Then, he's just not the hot new thing anymore.
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't change. I mean, he changed teams last year, but that's not like he was there already. The team's not good. There's no overachieving happening there, anything like that. He's also not coming back from being like kind of forgotten as a free agent, those things. Then if you look at Kuzma, Kuzma's had an outstanding season as well. He's probably kind of starting to become that player I think everybody thought he might be, with a bigger role and on a team where he wasn't kind of overshadowed by LeBron and others. And he has played very well too. Problem is, he's missed a good chunk of time. Porzingis has actually been the healthiest, I believe, of the three, because Beal's back on the shelf again. And so we get into these positions with this Wizards team where I just feel like you're just locking in to the same kind of thing that you've always been. And you need like Denny Avdia, who has improved this year, and Corey Kispert, who has improved to the point where last year it's kind of like, oh, if Corey Kispert's an NBA level guy. And actually this year he's played quite well and he's shot the lights out of it recently. So, all right, those are two guys that I feel pretty good about. Point guard still a little messy. Monte Morris is kind of okay, but not really a starter. DeLon Wright, Johnny Davis, he's looked better recently, but he's probably not very good. So you're just kind of putting yourself in a position where, all right, we're going to nail these mid-round draft picks because we're never going to get a really good pick there. So we got to nail those. We can't miss on a single exception signing. We have to nail those. And that's just a really tough spot to be in when your upside is pretty limited by the players that you have. Because even at full health, like you said, what do we say? Fourth seed, maybe that best. Like, they're not going to be on the Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia level in the East. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, let's say they do come to a contract extension with Porzingis. What can they do? What should they do here if you're the Washington Wizards? Because I think you have to be careful with this.
I think you need to at least explore the Kyle Kuzma sign and trade market, see what's out there, see if you can find something that rebalances you a little bit better, because I think they've kind of stumbled into something that is at least semi-workable with Gafford, Porzingis, and Avdija as your starting front court. Avdija, you almost have to play because he's the best defensive guy of that group, and he really does kind of get after it on that end. So I think that could be something there, maybe. I would consider maybe moving Beal on ball a little bit more than they have if you're gonna bring Kuzma back, because that's the way to get probably your best five guys on the floor while also at least kind of sort of solving your point guard problem there. And Avdija can do some stuff with the ball in his hands as a ball handler and playmaker too, so maybe you expand his role a little bit that way, and that's kind of how you go to. But the big thing is, if you re-sign Porzingis and Kuzma both, you got to get them on the right numbers so that then you can move them in trades if you want to later. Because Beal's contract, I haven't done it yet. It's one of the projects we're sitting on, but that's going to be considered one of the worst in the NBA. Because after this year, he's still owed over $207 million, almost $208 million over the next 4 years. So that's $52 million a year on average. And has the only true no trade clause in the league right now. So that is like, well, that's just, you're stuck with that. And I don't know that that contract gets any better unless Bradley Beal starts playing 75 games a year, scoring 25 points per game. It really is, you know, what he was at his very, very best. And I'm just not sure that's where he's going to be as we get into his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be – it could get tricky for Washington to navigate that whole situation with Beal. And do they ultimately move on? Do they kind of stick with what they've got? And like you said, maybe you look at Kyle Kuzma in a sign-and-trade situation this summer. We know that they decided not to trade Kuzma at the trade deadline, believe that they were going to keep him long-term, though. So I still think that that is their goal. It's going to be to keep Kuzma, keep Beal, keep Porzingis, and keep this thing rolling
forward. Let's go six seed, baby.
That's right.
Let's go for it. Get out of that.
Gunning for it.
All the way up.
Gunning for it.
Let's go.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Zion Williamson. He's going to get reevaluated middle of next week. The sense is that that reevaluation will come with about two games left in the NBA's regular season, and there is no guarantee that he will be back after that evaluation. No guarantee that he's going to get the green light, although he is doing on-court work right now. Keith, I would have to imagine where the Pelicans sit in the standings with two games left, given the fact that they have an extremely difficult schedule coming up, will probably be a big factor in what happens after that evaluation, maybe just as much of a factor as what actually is found during that reevaluation.
Yeah, agreed. We can confidently in the West, Portland is out. We're going to talk about them here in a minute. Utah starting to slide more towards being out and looking like with kind of shutting some guys down too. It sounds like Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson won't play again this year. They've been very careful with marketing. I just think they're done too. Mm-hmm. So really you're kind of down to five teams fighting for four play-in spots. And I know it's more than that because the Warriors and Clippers aren't fully out of the play-in mix by any means. So you're really kind of down to those teams all in that mix there, much like it's been for months now. So I think you're absolutely right. If you get down to it and it's like, well, hey, is Zion in the game better for 20 minutes a game than, you know, what we've been rolling out there for 20 minutes a night? Then put him in and let him play, right? There's really nothing to be lost because they've made it very, very clear. They will not bring him back until he's, what, like 150% ready? Like it's not 100% even feels low, right? It's going to be like, dude, this guy is ready to play. So yeah, I think if you're down to it and you're fighting for seeding, you know, or to just get in, yeah, bring him back and let him play, you know, those last couple games, because it's certainly not going to hurt you at all. So you know, why not? And you know, see what it looks like. And then, you know, we saw this team made noise in they won in the play-in, they made some noise in the playoffs a year ago. Maybe they're like, hey, we can recapture that magic in a even more wide open Western Conference. So like we feel like we can still get in there and do some damage.
Boy, they looked awfully good last night against Golden State. And then the Warriors started doing Warriors things in the fourth quarter. And next thing you know, it went the complete other direction. But there was a period there where you just went, oh my gosh, the Warriors are going to lose this game at home. Like it was, the Pelicans were just pull up three, everything dropping. It was incredible, but we'll see. If Zion can get back in action and if the Pelicans can stay in the playoff mix, that's going to be a big factor here as well. You mentioned them, the Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard going to have serious conversations with the Blazers. Now, what do those conversations mean? Well, we would assume that serious conversations would be, you know, hey, how likely is it we can contend with this team? What's, you know, what is the future hold? That sort of thing. The Blazers pretty definitively now that they have decided to bench Lillard for the remainder of the season to rest him and all of that. They're done. They've called it a season. They're looking on to the summer. Where do you go from here? I still have a hard time seeing Portland and Lillard going their separate ways.
Yeah. And to be very clear, it's like Lillard and Grant and Simons and Nurkic all out. So they're basically like, we're done. We're trying to be the fifth team in the lottery odds. I'm with you. I find it hard to believe that this deep in after years and just, I mean, it was only a couple months ago. He said again in a big, you know, widely publicized interview, like, I don't want to leave. Like, I want to win here. So I think it's probably more of like, all right, hey, we tried Jeremy Grant. What are we going to do? Are we giving him 25, 30 million a year? What does that look like? What's the market for Nurkic? Is Shaedon Sharpe ready to win? Could that mean, you know, all right, what could we get for Anthony Simons and his $24 million contract next season? Those, I think, are probably the more of the conversations for Lillard than the, you know, all right, I'm ready now. Now I'm ready to go. I just find that very hard to believe and to imagine. But I imagine it's probably, hey, I don't want to get there, so let's try to be better. Like, at least let's be a playoff team and give ourselves a shot. And I think Lillard is one of those guys who I think he's got that kind of mindset of, hey, I don't care if we're the sixth or seventh seed or the eighth seed.
Yeah.
Put me in the playoffs and we're going to be competitive and I'm going to keep us, you know, in the mix to win, you know, because he is a kind of guy who can almost win a game or two by himself. And then all of a sudden it's a series. Right. So I think for him, he is pushing to let's get the right guys. And this is much like last summer was a big summer. And if we'll go all the way back, you guys can go look at the free agent shows if you want. Didn't love their signings. I like Simons. I like Nurkic. I just felt they kind of locked in. It's there's a reason I called them Wizards West, right? It's they're just kind of okay, right? They're not terrible. They're not good. And I think if you're Portland, though, what you're probably a little worried about is, all right, well, we're not on the Nuggets, Suns, Warriors, Kings, Grizzlies, Clippers level. So behind us, around us, the Thunder are getting better very quickly. Mm-hmm. The Jazz have shown a lot of promise. Eventually, the Rockets and Spurs will probably turn this around. So where are we going, right? Because then it becomes, hey, we're not on that level. The teams behind us are catching us. And the next thing you know, if you're Damian Lillard, it could be, man, I'm playing it out on a bunch of teams that are 25 and 57 every year, and we stink. And that's where I don't think he wants to be in that position either. So this is probably a conversation around, hey, how do we fix this before we get to a question of, all right, hey, let's look at trade options.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the conversation. Again, Lillard has meant so much to Portland, and obviously he cares about being there. And so that's something that's, you know, obviously going to be a major factor here.
On them too. They have $110 million committed already for eight players. Part of that is they have over, you know, almost like $4.5 million in dead money still on their books because they've been one of the most stretch happy teams in the entire NBA. But you've got Lillard next year, $45.6 million. Simons, $24.1 million. Nurkic, $16.9 million. Then you're kind of then you drop into the middle contracts. Nasir Little, remember, he signed that kind of what we felt like was under market extension, $6.25 million for him. You've got Shaedon Sharpe, second year, his rookie deal. So you're pretty well up there in salary. So even if Jeremy Grant leaves town, it's not like you're turning right around with, all right, well, we've got $20 million in cap space to go spend. You're probably looking more of like, all right, with probably mid-level exception and, you know, going forward. And that's not to say it would be the wrong thing. I would rather see them, all right, Jeremy Grant, see you later, because I think you can go, I don't know what, 35-47 with or without Jeremy Grant next season. So that I would rather see let him go and not be great next season and just try your best to replace him rather than, all right, we re-signed him for 4 years and $100+ million. Like, that just gets you to a real messy spot.
Keith, you saying let him go now has a certain song stuck in my head, so I appreciate appreciate you for that.
We should do that. We should do like a parody front office show where like we come up with songs, like, and then we could just sing them whenever they come. Like, you know, oh, Jeremy Grant's a free agent. He's there going to overpay him. It's like, let him go, let him go, let him go back to Detroit.
Will that increase our viewership or decrease?
I don't know. I mean, we've both been pretty busy lately. Maybe the whole channel will just crumble right underneath us. Much like a certain princess's ice palace crumbled.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think from there, we're going to have to talk about Disney and Adam Silver potentially leaving the NBA to go run Disney, which is something that's been out there. By the way, my last thought on Lillard, just to throw this in, they have the fifth highest lottery odds in their sights right now. Their pick is lottery protected, so obviously that's not going to convey. Winning the draft lottery would go a long way towards
all of this
around.
Yeah. If you all of a sudden everything changes, absolutely.
Yes. Yep. Right. Yeah. That changes the whole conversation. Yeah. Okay. Adam Silver. There were rumors that Adam Silver might take over Disney, that might be an option. We know the NBA and Disney have a good relationship. We know that this guy named Keith Smith wrote up the plan to have the NBA play at Disney World. So they've got a good relationship there as well. I don't know, Keith, maybe you should get in the mix here. You can help broker a deal or something like that here. But
I've got the knowledge of both sides. I'd be happy to jump in for, I would be happy to help, just a little finder's fee, right? Like just a little taste. You know, let me wet my beak a little bit on this guest. 3%. You know, I'll take
3%. You can be Adam Silver's NBA/Disney liaison, right?
There it is.
You can make it work.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on here is Bob Iger came out of retirement to take back over Disney. That's not what this show is. So there's plenty of podcasts and shows you can watch all about people's feelings on that. And basically he has said, though, look, I don't want to do this forever. Like, I would like to actually retire at some point. I don't want to keep having to come back and delay my retirement. And one of the things they thought about was, him and Adam Silver have a great relationship. Adam Silver's contract is fairly well known to be coming up with the NBA for renewal. So the thought was, he'll come, but Adam Silver basically said, nah, I'm good. You know, I'm not really interested in that. And I think that's probably Adam Silver being pretty smart and being like, I think I'll stay in my lane here. Like, I don't know all that much about, you know, that business. And it's not to say he couldn't learn and be very successful, but I think he's probably more like, I'm pretty good here. Let's just stick with what we got going on in the NBA.
Yeah. And what he's got going on right now is CBA negotiations. The NBA and the NBPA still negotiating. They have a March 31st deadline. So the clock is ticking. We're just a few days away. But Adam Silver did make mention that they could extend the deadline again. They're still not done, but it's still, I don't know. The sense we've had all along is that ultimately this is going to happen, regardless of how many times they have to extend the deadline or whatever. They're going to get it done. Apparently they're not ready to like sign off on it just yet. And maybe they get there in the next couple of days, but negotiations are ongoing and it's not like they're miles apart at the moment.
Yeah. That's the good news, is it sounds like they're getting down to it. Now, Adam Silver said, you know, hey, like, if we don't, we will opt out in June. And then Tamika Tramaglio came back. That's the head of the MBPA. She basically came back and was like, hey, I hope they don't want to, you know, opt out. We'd be disappointed if they did, mm-hmm. and we're not intending to opt out at all. So I think they're basically in a position where everybody wants this done, ideally by the end of the week, and their March 31st deadline, which is coming up here in a couple days. But my guess is what happens is, hey, we've got a couple more things to finish off to make sure we're all, you know, lockstep and we can, you know, cross all mm-hmm. those T's and dot all those I's. Let's extend it for another week. And then that'll be kind of how this plays out. It's the good news is, one, nothing will happen the rest of this season. There's nothing, at no point is any part of this season in any kind of jeopardy. And it doesn't sound like we're in any kind of real worry of the offseason starting on time or anything like that. Never mind next season or any of that stuff. And why the end of June is important is that's when the league year turns over. I know we all kind of think the league year ends with the finals, but it doesn't. It really, the last big event in the NBA league year is the draft. And then the mm-hmm. league year, which is the same as when free agency opens, is July 1st. That's when everything turns over. So that's why they want to have it all done and finished, so they're not kind of going into that last year as kind of a lame duck year. So my guess is everything kind of gets you know, solved one way or another, whether it's in the next couple of days or whether it's in, you know, the next couple of weeks. But I'm not mm-hmm. worried about this at all. And no one I've talked to is even remotely concerned on either side, the team side or, you know, the player side. Everybody is. Yeah, everything's, you know, pretty good. And I think this is a comment I like to use often. A phrase is, I think everybody realizes, hey, half a watermelon is better than a whole grape. And there's a ton of money to be made right now. There's a ton of money coming with a new TV deal. Let's not upset the apple cart today. Let's go. And I'm all out of fruit references, so we can move on.
All right. Let's talk about, well, if we want to talk about lemons here, the Nets may feel like they got a bit of a lemon with Ben Simmons, who is now out for the season officially. And again, I don't mean to poke fun. I was mainly trying to continue the fruit references there, but Ben Simmons.
Weren't you glad the Lakers didn't trade for him? That would have been bananas.
Oh my gosh.
This show is off the rails.
Oh, that one went a little sour there.
Maybe I am trying to tank the channel subliminally. You know, I'm going to sing. And,
oh,
you
know, no. Oh, jokes. No. Now, bad instead of trying to not make us the best kept secret, people are going to be telling each other, yeah, keep the secret.
And don't watch the show. Yeah. I already signed up, and it's like two more clicks to not be subscribed. Oh, man. So I have to deal with it in my feed. But bad jokes galore here.
Oh boy, it's been a day. Ben Simmons, look, we've talked about this. We knew that this was coming, but now he's officially out for the remainder of the regular season. Hopefully, he can be back for next season. Does not look like himself. This has not been what the Nets were hoping it would be when they executed that big trade that involved James Harden and Ben Simmons swapping places. Certainly not what Brooklyn was hoping for. It seems like they're kind of ready to move on, but contractually, I think they might just be stuck with Ben Simmons for a little bit until we get to a point, and fingers crossed, hopefully we do, where he's back on the floor and playing consistently and playing well. I don't see how they're going to move that contract. Never say never in the NBA, but still, it's a tough one.
Yeah, after this season, $78 million fully guaranteed, $37.9 next year, $40.3 next the year after that. So $78.2 million total, you know, for owed to Simmons over the next two seasons. Just kind of sitting out there right now is potentially dead money. This might as well be a long-term injury guy. We've talked about it a lot with Lonzo Ball and guys like that, where you just, we don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to be able to play again? What's it going to look like? That's kind of the approach I'm taking with Ben Simmons right now. And I think it's kind of the approach the Nets are going to take is, hey, we got to work around it. It's sitting on our cap sheet for Sean Marks in the front office to work around. But as far as Jacques Vaughn and the players go, it's harsh to put it this way, but out of sight, out of mind. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We can just go. And his agent, his new agent, Bernie Lee, who also represents Jimmy Butler, basically came out and said, like, hey, we believe he'll, and I'm paraphrasing, but he'll be good. If he could do all the stuff he needs to do this summer, he'll be good to start next year. And that's what I really hope. You know, we say this all the time. We want every player to be healthy and to play at the best of their ability, because that's when the league is at its best. And that's, you know, what's best for all of us watching the NBA. But in Simmons' case, it's clear something is very, very wrong when you watch him play, because this guy, I think we've kind of all collectively forgotten, because we'll all bring up, well, he won't shoot and he won't do this and he won't do that. We've forgotten this guy was an absolute destructive one-man defensive. Yeah. He defended his last fully healthy season, defended all five positions equally amounts, basically 20% on each of the five positions on the floor. And not only that, defended them all equally well, which is at a high-end all-defense defensive player of the year level. So you add that with the rebounding and the playmaking, that's enough to be like, this guy is great. But then once you took those other things away, it was like, well, now what do we have? We basically have a guy who is, I hate to call it this way, but a much worse version of Russell Westbrook, where it's at least Russ like will shoot and can get hot and can do his thing and never lacks for confidence. It was with Simmons, it was like, he's just kind of out there. And that's worse. I know that sounds weird, but that's worse when you have a player who's just the non-entity on the floor. You're basically playing four and five on both ends of the floor. And that's just not where you want to be. So
no,
hopefully he gets this figured out. Cause if he can, all of a sudden the Nets are, that's a lot more interesting of a team, you know, that they kind of become like the new Raptors of, you know, here's a whole bunch of dudes that are, you know, 6'7" and to 6'9". And, you know, we're going to unleash them all and play a bunch of defense and play fast and do all this stuff. And we'll figure out the offensive part of it. Otherwise, it's just sitting, because I've had a ton of people be like, well, can't they trade them? Yeah. I mean, if they want to give up picks, but that's not where they are as they're resetting that thing. So they're not going to give up picks right now. I mean, we just went through this. The Lakers could not trade Russell Westbrook until they were willing to give up a pick and then take some salary that, quite frankly, the Jazz didn't really want anymore, and allowed them in Minnesota to shuffle some salary around. So that's what that turned into. So, you know, we're in a spot where it's really not all that different of a situation, minus the fact that at least Russ was playing basketball, and Simmons, we haven't really seen much of that in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think it would cost them quite a bit to move off of this contract at that point. Another player that at one point was seen as a negative value, I don't think that's the case anymore, Andrew Wiggins. Steve Kerr said there is hope that he returns this season. We haven't seen Andrew Wiggins in quite a while. He's been away from the team. It's not out there exactly what's happening, what's gone on with Andrew Wiggins, and that has created a lot of speculation about what's going on, what's happening as personally. You know, the players have made comments about how they support him and all that sort of stuff. I'm not too worried about exactly what's happening. I hope everything is great for him. And if it's something that he doesn't want out there, I don't think we need to know what it is that's happening in his personal life that's keeping him away from the team. Whatever it is, the Warriors have given him permission to be away from the team. They clearly know what's going on. And I think that's the only thing we do from here with this is we just, you know, wish him the best. And hopefully he is able to come back this season, because the Warriors could certainly use him on the floor. He's a big difference maker for them. He was massive in the finals last year. So this is going to be something to keep an eye on. But before we even talk basketball, hopefully everything's okay with him.
Yeah, that's it. If this was a situation where the Warriors were like, look, we don't know, we're trying to get him back here too, then it would be a completely different story. And I feel everyone would be a little bit more justified in what is happening here. Sounds like the Warriors are as aware as they feel they need to be. Sounds like a lot of his teammates are aware. And everybody across the board has basically said, he's got stuff he's going to take care of. So we're going to let him take care of that. Like, we're not going to worry about Andrew Wiggins, you know, being back here. Like, get your life right with whatever's going on. And I know there's been a ton of stuff out there of, well, it's this. Well, it's actually this and all that stuff. I don't know anything about any of that. And I'm not, you know, it's not the world I want to live in. You know, we'll leave that to the TMZ people of the world who, you know, love that stuff. And I know there's a lot of people who enjoy that kind of drama. That's just not me. I think basketball-wise, yeah, they have missed him. There have been a ton of times this season where they felt like one guy short, especially the nights where Klay Thompson either doesn't play or he doesn't have it going. Mm-hmm. It feels like they need one more guy to kind of help Steph out. And then on the nights, obviously, where Steph missed time, Wiggins would have been huge, because up until now, Wiggins hadn't really ever missed time. He'd always been one of the more durable players in the league, kind of always out on the court, and had always, you know, had really picked it up and played well. He was a huge part of them winning the title. He was their second best player in the NBA Finals after Stephen Curry. It wasn't even close. So I think, you know, obviously they're a much different team without him, but to that point is, you know, yeah, let's all hope he gets back and, you know, Steve Kerr and crew can, you know, get him back, work him back in there. You know, again, another one, be nice if he could get back with a game or two before the end of the regular season. And we just kind of go from there, but we'll see.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, he has not played since February 13th.
Yeah.
Has not played since then. So
right before or after the All-Star break, right? It was one of the others. I can't remember. Yeah.
Let's see. That was,
I think that's right.
There was also a game on the, he had a game on the 14th and didn't play in that one. And then the All-Star break hit.
Yeah.
That's that. All right. Let's finish things out. Some transactions, Keith, some minor transactions around the league, teams shuffling some players around, things like that. What do you have for us there?
Yeah, so everybody's kind of making some two-way changes here going on. The Charlotte Hornets, who had basically sat on two open roster spots way longer than they should have. And everybody screamed and yelled at me when I called the Hornets out on them. They're like, it's because they have to save one for Bridges. No, they don't. You don't have to save a roster spot for a restricted free agent. Yeah. You could have just waived a guy. You could have moved on from whoever you wanted to when you wanted to sign him. You don't need to sit on a roster spot to have it available. You would have created one and figured it out, and you always sign a 10-day. And they're a mile under the luxury tax. So that wasn't even a concern either. But they finally brought in Xavier Sneed. They're dealing with a mountain of injuries, obviously. LaMelo Ball, we all know, done for the year. Terry Rozier, that could be trending in that direction. We'll see. He's been out. Gordon Hayward was out last night. Kelly Oubre Jr. has been in and out of the lineup recently. So they're just in a spot where it's just a mess now. They brought Xavier Sneed in on a 10-day. Bringing Kobe Simmons, kind of a guy I think a lot of people remember because he's been around the league quite a bit. They're bringing him in to fill their open two-way spot, which is, again, that's been sitting open for, you know, weeks after they converted Bryce McGowan's to the active roster. So Hornets finally filling out their roster spots. A couple more 10 days. Lucas Aminich, if people remember him, he was a first-round pick of the Spurs once upon a time. He's been playing for the Maine Celtics of the G League and playing great for them. He's been huge. And there, it's funny, I talked to someone on the Maine coaching staff, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're super happy for him because the idea of the G League is to get guys to the NBA. Like, we're losing him right before the playoffs start, the G League playoffs. So he's headed to the Utah Jazz on a 10-day with Utah. And there was another one, and now I can't remember who it was. There was another 10. Oh, Moses Brown signed a second 10-day with the Brooklyn Nets, be able to give them a little bit of size. And then Skylar Mays, we talked about Portland already earlier in the show. Well, Portland's got all these guys who've been out and out for quite a while. So they're bringing in Skylar Mays on a hardship 10-day, which is basically an additional roster spot. They're going to fill it with a 10-day. Here's the other thing with 10 days. We're down to it. This is it. It's today and tomorrow, because after that, there's not 10 days left in the season.
There's so no more 10 days.
You can't do any more 10 days. And that's just in case anybody's wondering. It's not allowed. So what would happen at that point is they just sign the guy for the rest of the season, bring him in. They'll have his non-bird rights as a free agent in the summer if that's what they want to do with these guys, if they're not headed to the playoffs or whatever. So we'll see. But, yeah, we're still get some roster shuffling. And then the Indiana Pacers ended the two-way contract to Trevlin Queen. The Pacers have used their two-way players right around the least of any team in the league. So they're moving on from him. We'll see if they even fill it here, but headed down the stretch or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, team's still doing stuff around the league, yep. setting some stuff up potentially for the future and things like that. So even though things are winding down on the NBA season, there's still some moves to be made out there.
And the Celtics and Lakers still sitting on open roster spots, much
yes,
to the
ignorance
of both fan bases. I know I hear about it every single time the Celtics
play
well. So, yeah.
Sign a center, right? That's why we keep hearing.
Yeah, and Boston's is, can you get a wing? Tony Snell's just sitting there playing well in Maine. Like, just bring him up for the rest of the season. So, we'll see. I do think that there is something where teams, I don't know if the South Bay Lakers are in the G League playoffs or not, but I know where Maine is. I think one of the things teams don't want to do is pull guys away from the G League teams if they can avoid it, because they want to kind of, hey, let's let them have that success that they've worked for all season. So yeah, and we see that sometimes with two-way guys where it'll be like right now Boston has JV Davison and Fiondu Kabengele are both playing in the G League with Maine, because rather than just have them up and sitting at the end of the bench with the Celtics, it's hey, let them play and let them, you know, have this, you know, playoff experience run in the G League and see what it's like. No, no one's going crazy celebrating a G League championship. But again, these guys have worked towards this all year long. Let them have this run together.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. And that makes sense. You know, as you're continuing to be out to build out the G League, of course, guys want to make the leap to the NBA. But if you're just bringing up a guy so that the seat at the end of the bench is warm, that's, you know, that's not going to do a whole lot for them.
Nope.
All right. I think that about wraps things up for today. Got a lot going on the rest of the week here in the NBA. Again, we're going to keep an eye on the playoff race. Maybe we'll do a quick peek at the standings tomorrow, or perhaps even on Front Office Friday when we go live. That's going to be a lot of fun too. We've got that coming up. So make sure you are subscribing right here to the NBA Front Office Show, bad dad jokes and all. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, turn on those notifications, and of course, follow us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.